I'd like to be better written.
Okay, we're recording.
Time is 6:34. The chair will call the Human Services Committee meeting of Monday, August 4th, 2014 to order. Ms. Davis, would you please call the roll?
David Holman?
Present.
Mike Gable?
Yo.
Leah Blau? Not here yet. Greg Retzloff? He's excused. David Arrington?
I haven't heard anything from him.
Okay, not here. Anita Johnson?
Here.
Erin Decker?
Here.
Julia Alberth?
Here.
Brianna Ayers? Did Brianna call you?
No.
Agenda item number one. No, number two, sorry. Citizen comments. Are there any citizens wishing to speak who would like to address the Human Services Committee? If so, please step forward, state your name and address for the record. You have 5 minutes to address the committee. Should I say that slower?
Were you waiting for the crowd?
Seeing none, citizen comments is closed. Agenda item number three, approval of the minutes of 7/7/14.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Gable, second by Supervisor Decker. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Committee?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Agenda item number four, approval of the following county executive appointments. Nicholas Galick to the Kenosha County Workforce Development Board and Supervisor Boyd Frederick to the Racine Kenosha Community Action Agency Board.
Move to approve.
Second.
Well, what the?
Does Nicholas need to say anything?
There's been a motion and a second. Do we want the gentleman to speak first, or should we move?
Oh, you can speak.
Okay.
I was just going to do some brief introductory comments. Doug Bartz was unable to be here, and he has notes about Mr. Galick. And he was nominated by the outgoing board member, Mary Becker of United Hospital Systems. And it's felt that with the growing need for healthcare workers, we need to have a United Hospital Systems person on the Workforce Development Board, because this would be a direct link to having trained and ready folks to work in the healthcare field. Mr. Galick's dedication to bringing together persons involved with talent acquisition and having a plan in place to attract and retain Kenosha's younger set within the Wiley Group is very important. And we think that Mr. Galick's vision and dedication will be a very welcome addition to the Kenosha County Workforce Development Board.
So, with that brief introduction.
My name's Nick Galick. I'm the Senior Director of Human Resources for United Hospital System. Oh, did you want me to, okay, sorry. I've worked for United Hospital System for 13 years, and I've grown up in Kenosha County my entire life. I grew up in Silver Lake. I currently live in Paddock Lake. I'm dedicated to the community, and I've had a really great opportunity to kind of move through the ranks to now being the Chief Human Resources Officer for United. I think in that role, and also my role as a Wiley board member and several other community organizations, I would be honored to serve on the board and provide my help in any way that I can.
There's been a motion and a second. I have questions, but I mean, I can wait till after. It's not like pending his anything. Does anyone else have questions?
Okay. No, he answered.
Say your motion again, just so we have.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, it's been a motion and a second. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Meeting?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. I still have questions.
Sure, please.
One thing that was noted, and I think this came up either last year or the year before, was our difficulty with retaining physicians, particularly in this community.
Yes.
And I know part of human resources and, you know, workforce development is the educational side to make sure that we have, we're providing the things that we need. But, you know, for you.
I should probably share my other area of human resources is one of my areas of responsibility. I also oversee the medical staff for the system. So I'm directly involved in the physician recruitment and retention programs that we have at the system. I think that physicians in our community, it does tend to be difficult but our community as a whole, some of the programs that we put in with United, we've actually, in the last few years, been able to recruit and retain a lot of subspecialties that we wouldn't normally have for Kenosha, for the Kenosha County community, such as neurosurgery and cardiac surgery. And different than other systems around the state is that United is partially owned by Fraterton, the Medical College of Wisconsin, so we're able to draw on resources that we might not otherwise have capabilities, things like radiation oncology and some other things. We do have an aging workforce, I think, in nursing and healthcare and everything else, and I think that's going to be a big challenge that we're taking on. But right now at United, at least, we are taking steps to begin to recruit and replenish the physicians that are retiring or nearing retirement, because it takes many years for a physician to get up to full speed on their practice and things of that nature.
Supervisor Gagin?
I sit on mental health in the OTA, and we are seeing a lack of psychiatrists.
Yes.
Which in mental health, I mean, that's becoming a real issue.
Yes, it is.
Is United recruiting psychiatrists?
We do. I can tell you that in our plan, we have an open ability to accept psychiatrists on the medical staff. We're happy to do that. The issue is that there are funding is an issue for that, and also psychiatrists typically are now focusing more on an outpatient basis, so it's very, very difficult to get a psychiatrist to help on an inpatient as that type of thing goes more to the outpatient setting.
I had one more.
Yes, sir, please.
I'm sort of curious now, because I know that with the change in folks coming into the workforce, particularly when it comes to master's, PhD level, tends to be more women than it does men.
Mm-hmm.
Also tends to be more African-American, Latino, Asian. Do we see that in terms of, you know, the medical field as well? I mean, outside of nursing, some of the other professions.
Well, when it comes to physicians, I would say it's a pretty good mix of diversity. If you say the different, I don't think we get one more than the other, but I think it's in Kenosha we get a really good mix of everybody that kind of comes through the door. Nursing tends to be a little bit different just because most of the nurses tend to come from in our general area, so the demographic tends to stay the same. But for physicians, we're drawing people nationally, so it's a good thing. Yes, sir.
With all these industries, Amazon and all coming in, that's going to cause a major influx of people.
It is.
A lot of them will have insurance. Is that going to be, I mean, does that help draw physicians that you're going to grow?
Yeah, yes, it will, because the additional people will allow us to add services that we might not have. So, for instance, in areas like rheumatology where we might have two physicians, we might be able to support a third, which gives us a quality of life thing and also helps us to recruit and retain people. The big challenge that we have from that perspective, I think it all helps from our business side, but we also have challenges is that our entry-level positions that people might go to be a CNA, housekeepers, frontline staff, we're going to have challenges because there's a finite amount of people for that, and if all of these other industries start taking those candidates up, we're going to be competing from a workforce perspective. So we've recognized that as a challenge and are kind of looking at ways to address that right now.
Have you been to a workforce meeting yet?
A meeting? I have been to them with Mary Becker before, a while ago.
Yeah, they're usually pretty good meetings. A lot of good information. I've been to more than one of them.
Anyone else? Okay. I know you have a 7 o'clock.
Really yes.
Quickly. All I'll say is that don't hesitate to use this as a resource.
Absolutely.
And we point folks to things and, you know, great support from the department and from everyone else. But sometimes I think some of the things that maybe we can do on the ground don't always make it to our ears. So
yep.
If there is something that you think that maybe we can be involved in, whether it's the county directly or some other governing entity that we can provide support for,
yep.
Don't hesitate to let us know.
We'll do. And if you have further questions or anything at any time, please feel free to give me a call. I'm happy to talk with you or about kind of the latest trends and things that are going on in our industry.
If you want to make the offer to come back and talk about it, you have to take that.
Let me know.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Agenda item number 5, child support program overview.
Nina and Dustin are setting up. I just wanted to introduce Nina Taylor. She got married
a couple years ago.
Nina Taylor is a child support supervisor. She's been a supervisor in the child support unit for about 14 years now. Dustin Feeney is also a child support supervisor, and you've had about a year.
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
Oh. Time flies when you have
fun.
And they're both going to give a presentation on the child support program just in general, and then two very unique initiatives that are being operated by the child support program. One is called Supporting Parents, Supporting Kids, and the other one is the Child Support Borders Project. So they're going to wow you with information today.
Thank you. I guess the first question I have is, do you want us to read or pay attention to you? Because usually when this happens, we try to do both, and one wins, the other loses. So what would you prefer?
Pay attention when you speak.
All right.
How about you, Dustin, when you speak?
That's fine, too.
I've never asked that question before, but I noticed it happens.
Sure. And if you don't mind, is it okay if I just walk around instead of sitting at the end of the table? Is that okay?
Sure.
I can't read up close without my reading glasses, so it's more helpful. The child support program is Section 4D of the Social Security Act from 1975. That's what gives us the authority to run the program. Child support uses Wisconsin Statute 767 for its authority as well to administer the child support in Wisconsin, and that's the family law. In Wisconsin, there's 71 counties that have child support programs, and there's several tribal agencies that have them as well. Each county sets it up a little differently. We're kind of unique.
You're going to just give us a minute?
Sure.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Question. Uh-huh. There's 72 counties, right?
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to count.
Okay.
It's not one of them.
Now you have our undivided attention, I think.
So Kenosha County is unique in that we work under the Human Services umbrella. Some counties have them just at a corporation council, or they're a standalone county. Myself, I think it works very well to have us under the Human Services umbrella, because being a one-stop job center and Human Services building, when you have transportation issues, you need to go to one place and get everything taken care of. So I think it works really well because we also partner with each other, and we see each other, and we can hold each other accountable to our programs and what we're supposed to provide to people. So I think it works great. People seem to be happier and pleased that they don't have to pay for the extra transportation expenses. Also, another side note to that is that we find out things that maybe people don't want us to find out because we're co-located and we talk to each other. The state is the Bureau of Child Support. They provide the management and the oversight. And BCS is who we turn to for all of our policy and our guidelines. We have to follow those. They get everything from the federal government, and then they disseminate it through the state and Madison through us at the local agencies. They also maintain our statewide data system. It's called KIDS, Kids Information Data System. That data system receives information from economic support. It pours it into our system and creates referrals for us. So somebody's on public assistance, it tells us, hey, somebody's on public assistance, do what you can to get a medical support order or a child support order so that the person may not need public assistance. Madison also oversees the Support Collections Trust Fund. There's one place where all the payments are receipted and dispersed in Wisconsin. It's the oversight is provided by BCS in Madison, but it's located in Milwaukee. So all the services that we provide are listed there. Paternity establishment, order establishment, establishing medical support orders, case management, enforcement, collections, interstate collections, and now employment supports. And then we also provide pro se options to our customers. We can't give them any legal advice. Our attorneys work for the state of Wisconsin, and they are representing the best interests of the children. But we can steer them to Legal Action Wisconsin and give them forms and try to support them when they do things on their own. A lot more people are doing things on their own these days. Oops. We have 12,500 cases in Kenosha County, and those are 4D cases. We also have what we call non-4D cases, and we're responsible for the financial processing. And we have 6,200 of those. So we have account clerks that have to receive orders from court and send out income withholdings so the money can go to the trust fund in Milwaukee and get to the family. So that might be somebody who got divorced and they didn't get involved with public assistance, they didn't apply for our services, but we get the order over from the courthouse, they send it to us, and we have to send the income withholding. And everybody has to have income withholding in the state of Wisconsin. You can't get around that unless there's some very extraneous circumstance and you have the legal language covering that, it's very rare. So our county, every year we collect $35 million in child support, and that's a lot of money for one county. Statewide, it's $611 million. And our substitute care collections, we're number two in collecting for substitute care collections. And I'm talking about like when a child goes into out-of-home placement and the county's paying for that placement, not kinship care that the state pays for. So when we see that a child's been taken out of the home, we get a referral from their computer system, SACWIS, their statewide system. It says, hey, get an order on these parents. But when we look at these cases, we have to be careful because we want to make sure that we're not creating too much of a hardship for them. They get treated differently because you want them to maintain a household so the child can come back home. So there's a kind of a little bit wider envelope there when we set the support order, and they're usually lower. I'm making you crane your neck, I'm sorry. We collected $425,000 last year to reimburse the county for their out-of-home placement collections. And cost effectiveness is one of our performance measures that the federal government has for us, and Wisconsin is 26% higher than the national average of $5.12. For every dollar spent, we collect $6.44.
And
Supervisor Gable.
There's a reason for that, thank you. There's a reason for that because we have, you will pay to into the state. It's not like you can write the check to your ex-wife. Is that the reason why we're?
I think that since there's automatic income withholding, that was very helpful in increasing collections, yeah. People in counties and states are getting very creative and trying to figure out the best ways to get that money in from the federal government. And what I'm seeing personally is there's kind of a pull away from the family and more of a business model with the collections. So it's interesting.
Supervisor Johnson.
I just have a quick question. When their substitute care in the family is charged for that, is it court ordered? Does the court decide how much and then put an order?
Yes. Okay. We give a recommendation to the court, and it's based on their ability to pay. They're usually pretty low income orders, we call them. And then they have an opportunity to appear at a hearing and object to it. And if there's no objection, then the order is set by the judge. They sign the orders. So child support is supposed to reduce the need for public assistance, to take children out of poverty, and that's one of the goals of the program. We also are to enforce the health insurance orders to reduce state Medicaid costs. So that's one of the hats we wear. And then Dustin's going to take over next.
Okay. Thank you, Nina.
Sure.
We play an important role in reducing the need for public assistance. Not only do we reduce the dependence on public assistance due to having child support coming into a home, but we also are involved in fraud detection. Parties tell the Economic Support Department, which is our welfare department, that no, the non-custodial parent doesn't live in the home. Then they'll come and tell the child support agency that they do live together because they don't want a child support order set. Oftentimes we file an action with the court, it gets into court. Both parties are under oath, and they ask them the question if they reside together. Our orders are set in that they'll commence upon separation. So if they say they live together at court and then they leave and tell the public aid officials that they don't live together, our order will automatically kick on if there's certain benefits that they receive. So, or later on, if they end the order, we have a stipulation in that order that says that if you leave the home, your order is going to restart, and it will restart with any further court action. All we have to do is send a letter to the to both parties and to the court to get it restarted. So that's one way it can be reduced. So we have these regular conversations, though. Our caseworkers do probably on a daily basis with clients to let them know that, you know, what you tell public or welfare officials, you have to also tell child support because we talk to each other. We're in the same building. So paternity establishment. What is paternity establishment? It's legal fatherhood. It's not genetic testing. That's just a medical finding. Paternity is legal fatherhood. What are the ways that you can establish paternity? There's a few ways in Wisconsin. One is the voluntary paternity acknowledgement form, or the PATH form, which is the paternity acknowledgement through hospitals. It's the same form. They can do the form at the hospitals. They can do it on their own. They can do it at our office. It has to be notarized and then sent to vital records. and then that will amend the birth certificate. We can view the birth record online to see if it's been amended or not, because they get rejected all the time if they're not in black ink, if they have crossouts on them. It's a vital record. So also that there's a legitimation form, which if parties marry after the child's born, that's the form they would do, or it also can be called an acknowledgement of marital child. That has to be notarized as well, and then they just send a marriage license in with it. The other way that you can establish paternity in Wisconsin is the formal court process, and that's by filing a paternity action with the court. Both parties have to be personally served. Then there's a first appearance. At that first appearance, they can ask for genetic testing. They can waive their right for genetic testing, but if they ask for it, then there's nothing else that can happen at that hearing. They get a date to come to the health department to do the testing, and then they get a follow-up hearing date as well. So they come do the testing at the health department. DNA Diagnostics is our vendor for genetic testing. The swab gets taken out from the health department and sent to DNA Diagnostics lab. And then they get us results back in about 2 to 4 weeks. We file those with the court and we send them to the parties. Then at the second appearance, go ahead.
Do they pay for it, the DNA testing?
They do not ahead of time. Usually it's aid cases or if they apply for services. Now, if there's not a court action going on and they just ask for DNA testing, they do have to pay ahead of time. And we get a lot cheaper rate. Now, before I started with the Child Support Agency, it used to be $250. Then when I first started, it was $186. Then it was $150, now it's $114. So it's like the opposite of all other bills that are out there. So they've perfected it. Now it's $38 per sample. So we don't charge that amount until after we set the order. There's certain instances where they don't recoup the cost, but generally they set it at the time they get the order. So when they do get to court at that next hearing, they adjudicate paternity on the court record. They can set child support depending on if, you know, the aid warrants it or that the parties, maybe it's a non-aid case. Maybe mom or dad doesn't want child support to be set. So then they won't set it. But then they also do a health insurance order. We can set repayment of birth expenses, and we can set repayment of genetic test cost. They can do legal custody, and that's another thing that could set at a paternity hearing. It would be joint to each party or sole to one party. Primary placement, secondary placement, which is visitation, and then also the tax exemption. So all those things could happen at subsequent hearings, or actually will happen in subsequent hearings. So order establishment. Now, in a paternity case, you establish an order as well, but this is if paternity is already established. So paternity can be established through the paternity acknowledgement form in Wisconsin, or it can be a paternity acknowledgement form done in another state, or it can be that parties are married and separated, and there's no divorce proceeding going on. We can get a case like that because parties apply for services but don't have money to file a divorce, or the custodial parent is on public assistance and we get a referral. So a divorce would supersede that kind of case, if we had a temporary order, or if parties get back together, they would just do a stipulation to end that. But there's certain aid that would require that we file an action with the court if parties were married and separated, and I have them up there. Also, orders are set based on the percentage of the year in Wisconsin. It's based on just the non-custodial parent's income. It's 17% for one child, 25% for two, 29% for three. But there's also a shared placement order that can be set, and that would be based on both parties' income. And it's based on, you qualify for shared placement for the parent that has the child less than 25% of the overnights per year. So then you get into where it's a shared placement situation and both parties' income would be taken into consideration. Also, split placement, both parties' income would be taken into consideration, and that's both parents have to have the child, at least one child. Then there's also parameters for high-income payers and low-income payers. So they have, if someone's below poverty level, maybe they have many obstacles to find employment, maybe they have a lot of felonies on their record, they may not have child support set at the same amount. And I know you had asked her about, what if they have all this stuff going on, would they set a lower order? Well, based on certain amounts of income, they can set low orders as low as $82 per month if it's a low-income payer situation. Also, we establish medical obligations as well. Those get referred to us if it's like medical assistance only. In Wisconsin, it's mostly BadgerCare cases. What we're required to do is we file, you know, we get an action with the court, and if the parties don't want child support, we still have to get a health insurance order. And that health insurance order basically says both parties that provide medical health insurance, if it's available through a present or future employer at a reasonable cost, both parties are to split any uninsured medical or dental expenses 50-50. So that order, that has to be in all the orders. And then that qualifies for if they have medical assistance. What that does is we also enforce those orders through the employer. We find out if they have health insurance available through the employer. Sometimes it can be, it's the primary health insurance for the children, and then BadgerCare will be the secondary. So that can reduce the impact on BadgerCare. So also, we do interstate collections as well, and that's under UIFSA, or the Uniform Interstate Family Support Act. Qualifies for UIFSA when the child support agency must attempt interstate when another state has jurisdiction over a non-custodial parent, and that non-custodial parent doesn't submit to our jurisdiction. So, you know, local enforcement is difficult. So if we issue a warrant for someone's arrest, we get to the final step. We issue a warrant for their arrest. That warrant's only good in Wisconsin. We suspend their driver's license. We can only suspend the Wisconsin driver's license. So at that point is when we have to take that order and ask for enforcement in another state. Or we find out that parties have, you know, mom's here now, or dad's here, and he's the custodial parent, and the non-custodial parent lives in another state, and that order is in the other state. We have to ask them to enforce that order, because many states will be very quick to close out child support orders when the custodial parent leaves their jurisdiction. So we can ask for a lot of different things from another jurisdiction. We can ask for them to provide locate services, verify and provide certified orders and pay histories. We can ask, like the paternity process I just talked about, ask them to establish paternity in Illinois or in Iowa. Set orders, enforce orders. We can ask them to register our order as a foreign order and enforce it in their jurisdiction as well. And then if they take our Wisconsin order, say register it in, most common, say Lake County, Illinois, or Cook County, Illinois, they can enforce that order just like it was their own order. And then they can go through all the steps that for us don't cross county lines. So, and they can also do a change of pay where they can redirect the support back to our state, or back to maybe grandma now has the child. And I put on there initiating and responding. So there's two primary kinds of interstate cases. Initiating is when we make the request for all those different things to another jurisdiction, and responding is when another state makes that request of us. So we get orders from states all over the nation and a couple other countries too, to register them here in our courthouse, notify the parties, and then that becomes an order enforceable under Wisconsin law. So it's pretty interesting. But there's a lot of difficulties with interstate casework, because there's difficulties here with the local child support case here in Kenosha County, where both parties live here. But then you're adding 50 states. There's 71 county child support agencies in Wisconsin. I think there's 103 in Ohio. Communication can be different. A lot of states have gone to state call centers where, I would spend the day calling call center, 20 minutes. And what caseworkers lack understanding of interstate cases and what they're supposed to do, because many workers just do the local enforcement. So they usually have a specialist within your agency that knows those better. There's also financial accounting differences from state to state. We keep non-4D cases open on our system for accounting. Illinois does not. When Illinois closes a case and makes it non-4D, which you discussed before, it's gone. It's off the system. So if it ever comes back, they have to recalculate that case and put it back on. So if you get parties that move here from Illinois and it went non-4D in Illinois, they have no record of any accounting at that point anymore. It's kind of interesting.
My apologies. I may have missed it. How many caseworkers did we have for Kenosha?
Caseworkers, we have 15.
15 enforcement specialists and 30 in the agency.
Yeah. So, there's also differences in the state and local laws and procedures.
And how many of them are, can do the interstate stuff? Since you brought it up.
Well, we have kind of a different format. We have one person that does the outgoing case at work. And then we have one person that, a halftime that registers the out-of-state orders. Granted, it's not a large caseload. What we do is all the caseworkers at large work the incoming requests, meaning that, I don't want to get too technical, but our paternity quota establishment unit, which is five people, will get out-of-state requests to establish paternity and establish an order. Those would go to them based on alpha split. Now, the enforcement workers at large will get, please enforce your Kenosha County order and redirect payment to Illinois. So all the workers at large can get them. Now, the register in an out-of-state order, that's one person. And the asking another state to enforce their order and redirect payment here, that's one worker too. So, yeah. So I mean, there's a few different facets of it. So with all that, what we did here in Kenosha is we started a border project in 2004, and we basically started with Illinois, and it was the main purpose of starting it was to improve our communication with Lake and Cook County. When I first started in 2000, basically any interstate action you sent to Illinois, it went there and you never heard anything. No matter how hard you tried, you'd have the Castola parent here asking you questions, getting upset with you, and communication with them was very difficult. So, you know, what we started was we started regular meetings with Lake County, and it eventually got to be Cook. And then in 2007, we got access to Illinois' state mainframe system for child support, which was amazing. They got it too. Kenosha County was the first one to get that. So now we can look up addresses of people with cases. We can look up their cases. We can't get their court orders, but we can look up their court orders and what it says when they started, how much it's for. We can look up employment information in Illinois. We can look up Illinois birth records and see if the, you know, if paternity is established. So that's helped out a lot with daily processing of cases. Another aspect of that we've done, we've been holding an annual conference here in Kenosha County. Like I said, initially it was just with Illinois, and we do this at no cost to the county. Basically, it's a one-day conference, and we have a bake sale in order to fund that day. We have an annual bake sale at the Child Support Agency in order to fund everything for that conference that day. But at the conference, we share best practices and ideas and basically state and local differences that we have, because Cook will require certain paperwork that no other jurisdiction requires. Lake County will require certain other paperwork that no other jurisdiction requires. And other jurisdictions do that too, but those are the jurisdictions that we deal with the most. This year at our conference, we'll have people there though from Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, Michigan, Iowa, Nevada, and the Office of Child Support Enforcement, Region 5, which is the federal office, and that will be September 19th. So,
when is the bake sale? Has it already happened? I'm not being glib about this. I mean, you know, send us the thing. I mean, you know,
yeah, we
bus might buy a cupcake to help out.
Yeah, yeah. I would never.
Yeah. I'm serious. I'm really serious.
Yeah, we usually have it at the job center. Oh, we always have it at the job center.
Shoot us a notice when that goes on, and maybe we can participate in it.
So, an offshoot of that as well is we created in 2008 the National Child Support Communication Forum. And it's just a spreadsheet, a database. It's 656 members from 45 states, U.S. territory, Guam, Washington, D.C., Germany, and Canada. And it's basically just, it's a simple mantra. It's child support professionals assisting other child support professionals when standard methods of communication fail. Because you have central registries, you have central call units, and there's a lot of bureaucracy. This is just a list that I maintain that is people's names, direct phone numbers, emails, titles, and addresses. And it's worked unbelievably.
They agree to answer the calls.
They agree to answer the calls and provide you the documentation that you need. And we're getting more and more people, so we're able to reach farther and farther in being able to do these things. So, and just today, we're supposed to go through the standard and proper communication channels first. I didn't get certified orders and a pay history on a case that was set in Clark County, Nevada, that I asked for over 30 days ago. At this point now, I'm circumventing the process, and I'm using someone on the list to get it. And I feel I'll probably get it in 2 weeks because it always works. Plus, in addition to that, we have a forum blog that's maintained from one of our members in Indiana, and that's password protected for members of the communication forum. And people can post questions and share information. It's not case-specific information, but it could be information that is pertinent to their specific jurisdiction and other things that you find out. Hey, do you have a contact in Puerto Rico? Because Puerto Rico is a really difficult place to get child support action on. And, you know, we're able to share that. And so I did bring just a couple things that some people had pointed out in those jurisdictions. Some of our members, how happy they are with the form. This is June Frazier from Cook County, Illinois. She says, I want you to know that this list is golden to me in helping me to do my job more efficiently and receiving out-of-state orders needed in order to get clients' monies needed for their families. The relationships you build along the way with other city states is priceless. And I just have a couple more. One from Amy Bowder in Pennsylvania. She says, just this week I used it for the contact from Germany, and she was wonderful. She answered in moments what I had spent days trying to figure out. And I got one more. Pamela Cobb from Maryland. She says, thank you for stepping up and helping out in the complicated world of interstate. So this is a list that we would need to do our interstate cases already. We just shared them with everybody else. And I think it's put Kenosha County is in the forefront of interstate communication. And
it's been, his project has been critical to our collections in Kenosha County because being a border county, it makes it much more difficult for us to get the child support in. Same with Beloit, Racine has the same issue as well. So the border counties, they struggle a little more.
Is that conference here in Kenosha?
Yes. And where are you going to have it, at the museum this year?
We're at Civil War Museum.
We had it at the county center last year, but now we thought all these people coming in should see Kenosha and see what we got down there and everything.
Yeah, we had members that thought that we weren't displaying downtown Kenosha, so they wanted to have one here because the people from Iowa came to the county center and they wanted to know where Lake Michigan was.
If you would like some of our committee members or county supervisors who might want to just pop by to say hello,
yeah, oh, that would be great. Nice.
Send us an invite.
Okay, thank you.
I'd like to.
It's a Friday, apparently, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. Some people are coming from out of town for the weekend then.
Right. Oh, good.
Drop a little money in our city.
Yeah, that's the intent.
And order enforcement and collections, that's a critical role that we play. And with our order enforcement, we have to do a lot of locate of income and assets. And we interface with many different systems that give us information, which helps us to do our locate. We also do pass security checks to like have access to DOT and things like that in order to find out addresses so that we can find people to collect the child support. Administrative enforcement is more important in the beginning than judicial enforcement. And it's a tool that we like to use because it's a way to cajole people to make their child support payments without being punitive. I mean, sending someone to jail is like the last thing you want to do because they're not with their children and they're not paying their child support. So we get to do administrative income withholding. So if somebody gets behind, we can collect a little more to go towards the arrears. And we want to make sure we get a collection on arrears if we have any, because that's one of our performance funding measures as well as collections on arrears. So we have to do a good job on that. Interest accrual is another tool that we have that happens automatically. It used to be 18%, if you can believe that. Then it went down to 12%. And recently in April, Governor Walker passed a law so that it's now 6% annually, so 0.5% per month. Everybody's got their own opinion on interest. I can tell you that not all states charge interest. So, lien docket is something that happens. If you get behind in your child support, $500 or more, you'll be automatically put on the lien docket. And then if you have any personal property, a home, a boat, a car, a lien will be attached to it automatically. So if you want to sell that property, you would have to contact your worker, and the worker would negotiate with you, depending on how much the sale is going to be, to release the lien on the property. They want to get a little something in for the family when you sell something, if you have a lien on it. The lien doesn't go away until the arrears are zero. You're also reported to the credit bureau if you're on the lien docket. So that's not something that people want on their credit report. We can also do an account seizure. We interface with banks and financial institutions, and they tell us if someone has $20,000 in a bank account, yet they owe $20,000 in child support. So then we start a whole due process where we're notifying the bank, notifying the party, and they always have a right to a hearing to object to this. They would have to prove that they don't owe the money. License suspension is another thing that we use. We'll notify people that we're going to suspend your driver's license or your fishing license or your professional license, but that's one we really don't want to pursue because they need that to work, you know. But sometimes the due process for the license suspension involves several letters before it gets to the final certification, and that usually gets somebody's attention, and then they start talking to us. And we're trying to change the way we do business now so that people talk to us more, so we can find out more. I know I mentioned earlier they're talking about more of a business model, but what we're finding out now is that the more you talk to people, the more you can work with them if they're willing to work with us. You know, it's just if somebody never contacts us, we try to reach out to them. These arrears keep accruing and the family's going out without the support. That's when we get to the judicial phase, and then we would file a motion with the court. Sometimes that's what people listen to.
Right, Mabel?
Question, this is done automatically, or does the other spouse have to come into court?
If we have a 4D case, it happens automatically. All of those administrative enforcement tools are at our disposal, and we're supposed to use them prior to filing an action with the court. Such as the tax intercept that's on there, that happens automatically. We can't stop it. We don't have any control over it. So if somebody does end up getting into the courthouse because of non-payment of child support, it's a rather lengthy process as well when you're in the court system. So it's not like you'd have your first hearing and you could go to jail. You go to that hearing and they make you aware of what they want to find you in contempt. Then you have another hearing and they say, okay, we're going to find you in contempt. And then they have another hearing where you're in front of the judge. And they give you remedies all along the way to try to purge yourself of contempt, such as do work search. And if you do 10 work searches per week and you provide them to the court and you're still not paying, but you can tell that this person is trying, then they'll let them off the hook and just keep having review hearings.
Approximately how long will the process take if, like, it gets all the way to the end? Like
court?
Span of days, I guess. Yeah.
Okay, you might have your first hearing in March. 2 months later, you have your second hearing. Will they find you in contempt? So these are worst-case scenarios. Then you would have another hearing 2 months later where the judge is going to see whether you did the things they ordered you to do. One of the things they order you to do is to go to Employment First, which is an orientation that we have for these non-custodial parents, and we teach them how to do work search, and we teach them about all the job search supports that we have at the job center, and kind of, you know, make them feel comfortable. We can even show them where everything is at the job center so that they can, we're like, this is your golden ticket to get out of jail. You got to do these job searches. And we give them an employment resource guide. It's about 19 pages long, which is really helpful because most of the jobs that you apply for, it's online now, you know, and some of our older workers, my age too, you know, if we were to lose our job, it's a whole different ball game, and they need to learn all over how to do it and do it in a new way, you know, and they're not as technologically savvy, so they need those supports. And the job center has all kinds of classes to teach you how to apply for jobs online, how to do work search, mock interviewing, resume building, things like that. It's free to anybody.
When Chrysler closed, them guys were making $20-$25 an hour. Now they're finding jobs at 11. Is their child support automatically go down, or are they required?
No, it doesn't automatically go down. So if your order's too high, you would want to call child support and ask for a review of your support order. What we'll try to do is get you to both agree so that you can do a stipulation and order and avoid court, and it happens a lot faster. And if the other party won't agree, then we would file an action, you know, for the person so that it gets reduced. But then we have to go in front of the judiciary, and sometimes the judiciary, depending on the arguments, you never know what's going to happen, you know? So the model is going more towards ability to pay. What is somebody earning now? You know, it's not like the old days where you could get another job at the same pay, you know? It's just like what you said.
Yeah, I mean,
and so things need to change.
Yeah, 25 to 13.
Right, right.
50%.
Mm-hmm. We just had a New York magistrate on the phone the other day. Somebody had left the military and was trying to find work. He wanted to have his order modified. She refused to do it. She said, you should be able to find a job making the same amount of money. So that's what we're up against.
Does it go up automatically? I mean, okay, I'm working for $13 an hour. Well, next month I get a job, I'm making $100,000 a year.
It doesn't go up automatically.
Okay,
no.
So
we'd have to be contacted by the other party saying, hey, I heard they're earning more money, you know, then we'd start the review process. But it can only be done every 3 years or a substantial change in circumstances. So, And then criminal non-supports, we do these on occasion, very rarely in Kenosha County with the district attorney's office. And these are people who have been through the civil contempt process and they're just like, I don't care, I'll go to jail, doesn't matter. And people know that they're out working and making money for cash and just refusing for whatever reason not to support their child. So those are the ones that we would pursue the criminal non-support. Very rare, like I say, though, because it's a felony. It's also a big waste of our time because they end up putting them on probation and the probation officers don't do anything about it. So we do have a program in place here that we started in 2000, which has been fantastic. And Judge Wagner actually motivated us to do this. When someone's incarcerated, if they want to get out of jail, the judge sets a purge amount, and it can be anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000, depending upon the history of the case, how much the judge has seen the person, how much the arrears are. And so when commitments are effectuated, it's usually not that many. It depends on the judge sometimes. But when they are, the person could purge themselves and get released by payment of that amount of money. And it's been ironic that a lot of times we get money that way. So like last year, we got $188,000 in release settlements. And the nice thing about that, though, also is that we do a special order when we release them, when they make that payment, that says, if you don't pay your child support, we can return you to court, and this is going to hang over your head for 3 years, which is a motivator for them to pay their support because they don't want to go back. And again, there would be due process before sending them back. They can go in front of the judge. But it's nice because then you don't have to file an action all over again and pay the service costs and everything, so it saves taxpayer money by having that kind of an order where you can return them just by letter notice to the judge. And they do get an opportunity for hearing if they disagree with it. And then here's a positive thing that we're doing in Kenosha County that we're really excited about. It's called Supporting Parents, Supporting Kids. This is a federal grant, and Wisconsin was one of 8 states awarded this grant. It's a child support parent employment demonstration project. And what the federal government is looking at is providing employment supports and parenting activities to child support payers in order to have better family outcomes and to help people pay their child support and just have better long-term family outcomes with their children. And you know, when people, they've done studies, when people are paying their child support, they're more likely to see their children. And so I think it's a very positive thing. We've had a lot of great feedback from the non-custodial parents who are volunteering for this. They feel like they can share information with us more. I think they feel a little safer coming into the agency and working with us. Wisconsin chose Kenosha and Brown to implement this grant. So we're piloting it for the next 3 more years now. And the University of Wisconsin Institute for Research on Poverty and Mathematica Policy Institute is doing all the research for it. Since it's research, half of the people get extra services and half go into the control group. So we felt bad. It's like, well, you tell people you're going to give them an employment program and you give them a $10 gift card for enrolling and then they don't get anything. You know, so that's when we developed the employment first orientation, so that when people come in, we have a folder like similar to what we do, but it's a lot thicker. And it lists all the employment supports at the job center. It tells them about child support, many different things that they can do to help themselves. That's the key, though. They have to help themselves. And we explain everything in the folder to them. But with this program, they get intensive case management. They have 3 people that are working with them one-on-one. We have a job developer. She's awesome, Becky Cornell. She works for Goodwill. And she has relationships with employers in the community. And then as she builds rapport with the person in the program, she'll refer them to an employer when it's a good fit. We have a person named Chris who's doing the parenting workshop. And the parenting workshop is more of a peer support thing. You know, when people hear parenting, most people are like, I know how to parent, you know. It could be insulting. But what it really is a way for non-custodial parents to get together and share their stories. Because when people don't get to see their children, they get very emotional about it. And they think they're the only one. So we've gotten great evaluations from the parenting activities. And the course was developed in Madison, because Madison is doing the oversight, the Bureau of Child Support, for this grant. And I think it's something that the model can be used throughout the state.
How did Brown and Kenosha get chosen for this?
I don't know. I just was told that we're doing it. And in a short period of time, actually. You know, they submitted the grant, and they had, the Bureau of Child Support did, and they wanted Kenosha and Brown. And, you know, Brown's demographic is different than ours, so, and they have more employment opportunities, so it's going to be different outcomes. They get all theirs are volunteers, and half of ours are court-ordered, and half call us up or walk in and want to do it.
So. What's the expected release date for the evaluation of that?
Probably 2017 at the earliest.
I'll still be alive. I'm counting.
I hope so. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's a touch and go.
And then these are some resources for you. The Trust Fund in Milwaukee, the phone number's there. The Child Support Online Services, that is the state of Wisconsin's website for the entire state. It has everything out there for parents who receive, parents who pay. It's a good resource. And we're located, as I said, at the Job Center. Our hours are 8 to 5, but anybody can make an appointment earlier or later. One of us will see you. We like to have a special employer line because we want to make sure employers are happy because they're doing this work of honoring these income withholdings and these health insurance orders, and it's a lot of paperwork for them. So we like them to have their own phone line. Lien line is like if we needed that too, because if you're refinancing and you didn't realize you had a lien and you want to close, you want somebody now to help you, so we have that line too. And then in the folder, you should, you know, feel free to peruse through that folder. Sharon, your folder? Thanks. There's the child support overview on the left is a very good resource. And then these brown and yellow handouts, these are from the state. They're also found on the website. The yellow one is good, like if your constituents are contacting you and you want to be able to give them a phone number. And then Dusty and I put our cards in here too, so you can refer any of your customers to us so that we can help them if they're having any issues. On the right under the PowerPoint is the Supporting Parents, Supporting Kids program that we have. People in that program too, they also get work supports like bus tokens, gas cards to get to work. We had one person have their Boilermaker's license reinstated through the funds because there's a small pot of money for each person. And then there's a couple of handouts here from the National Child Support Communication Forum and some commonly asked questions, which is helpful when you get phone calls maybe.
I got your number.
Yes. So that's about it. It's a lot of information. I thank you for listening to this for so long.
It's good.
I think all the committee members emailed Legislative Fiscal Bureau paper number 44 that talks about child support enforcement in Wisconsin. So
okay.
If they want to, they can read through those 42, 43 plus pages or so.
Oh, wow.
at their
Thank you.
I might refresh myself tonight. I don't.
Okay. So. All right.
Any questions?
Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very much.
Okay. Supervisor Johnson, yes.
I was wondering, does anybody know? It never hit me that we actually try to recoup the costs for children that we take out of the home. Does anybody know what percentage we actually do recoup? And that might be off for them for child support.
Uh-huh. We still have. We have a question, apparently. A good one.
But I don't think they're going to know the answer to that one.
They should.
Possibly.
I don't know. But I'm just wondering, because they probably don't know the total cost for foster care. You know what I mean? It's different departments. It's across. I was just wondering. It just hit me. I never realized that we try to recoup the expenses we incur when we take children out of the home. And I'm just wondering now how much we actually do, what percentage we do get back.
Oh,
from what we actually spend.
BDCFS.
But that would be a different department. That's what I was.
Okay.
Yeah, I can check with our people. We have our fiscal people in the Office of the Director and DCFS, and they do the foster care payments and to do with the placements, and I'll find out what they have.
So when that money comes in, does that funnel back in towards them?
It goes to Kenosha County, yes. It goes to the Human Services.
Okay.
But what we recoup is based on the payer's ability to pay and has really nothing to do with how much was actually paid out.
Absolutely, and that's why I'd like to know what percentage that actually is.
Yeah.
I mean, that isn't something that we budget for because we do mysterious things like that in other areas of the county. Is it?
Well, They have child support at the table with the placement reduction committee, because they want to know, you know, they want to make sure the social workers refer cases to us. They want to understand how it works. They are well aware of tax intercept now. So because we put these cases into our system, we get the tax intercepts out. You know, so.
But it's not.
They count on it.
It's not something that we have like a line item for, per se, in terms of expecting to receive, expecting to collect, per se.
I think if the collections went down, I would be hearing something and it wouldn't be good. But I don't know if there's a line out there. I know I feel pressure on me to make sure that it's running smoothly.
There has to be a line at the end of the year to show it.
Right, but I mean, we don't like budget for it like we do for inmates and for other things that we.
Well, that's kind of a moving target.
I am I'm on the other end. I'm writing the child support checks to the state for my employees.
Oh.
Are the paperwork we get from, I'm assuming you guys, is that state mandated the way it's laid out and explained? Because it's very confusing.
It is.
It's a federal notice.
I mean, I just got one asking, and it was 27 pages, asking me, I think it came from the state of Illinois, asking me if they had health insurance through us.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. All I had to check was
7 pages for today.
Yes, and it asked me like in 3 different places, and I'm like, am I doing this right? Because this is weird that I'm being asked this, you know, 3 different times in the same envelope.
Did the person have one court order or multiple court orders?
I don't understand the paperwork.
I mean, we have people that have
and that's the thing is the paperwork, you're like, am I doing this right? There's all this information that I honestly don't care about because it doesn't matter to me.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I want to know who it's for, how much it is, their PIN number so I can write it on the check, and where I mail it to and how often.
Mm-hmm.
That paperwork is just ridiculous for employers. And I have, you know, one person on child's that I'm writing a check out for. I can't imagine employers with hundreds of employees.
I think they're getting a lot of complaints at the Office of Child Support Enforcement in Washington. And they're working closely with employers, and they want employer feedback. And if you get something and you can't understand it, we'll walk you through it. So, or maybe we should highlight things for you or something.
Are highlighted, you know? But it's still, you know, it's like one person, for example, at one time I had 2 people that I was writing 2 separate checks out for, but mailing it to the same address. And one person I got in the mail like coupons every month that I sent the coupon back with, and then another person I didn't.
All from the state of Wisconsin?
Yes, because I was making this checks out to SCTF. 2 checks.
2 separate checks.
Yes.
You think you'd be able to send one as an employer. The trust fund also has an employer line, too, and you can call them as well. And maybe you can just do 1 check just to save you.
Well, I don't.
That's done? Those,
yes, that's okay. Done. So, but it's, you know, it's very confusing for employers.
It is. And they're supposed to get it to the point where they have automated income withholding. So it would come like through an interface. So maybe that'll be easier. And the feds want it to be uniform.
Well, there was that one point where I was having it electronically taken out of our business checking account, you know, and paying it that way instead of mailing it. And then that employee quit, and they still took the money out even though my employee was gone. And I had contacted them and asked them to stop taking it out, and I was told I wouldn't get the money refunded.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because it went out to the parent already.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
So.
if you have any complaints like that, please let me know.
Okay.
And I'll pass them on to the state.
Okay.
Do we need to have a session in Kenosha County for employers so that this kind of thing doesn't happen?
Yeah.
As a committee, we could really jump on that.
That would be good, and it'd be a way to promote the Supporting Parents, Supporting Kids program, too, because it's people that employers can hire.
If committee members feel like this is a good idea, we can dialogue and contact the right folks and maybe try to set something up.
It would be good.
I can't believe that the business can get reimbursed. That's
no, and I contacted them and they said, oh, I'm sorry, we already paid out. I'm like, I contacted you guys and told you not to take out that this employee quit, yet you did anyway, and you're not giving me my money back. Thank you very much.
Again, that's if committee members feel, not necessarily that we would all have to attend or that it would be part of our normal meeting, but it would go in the paper that we're hosting this.
Could you call the bank and just have them stop? Of course, you probably didn't think about that. That'd be...
Well, you'd think you could call them and tell them to stop, and they'd stop. You wouldn't think you'd right. have to stop payment on it.
You can't tell them to stop payment once they've already taken the money out.
Yeah, but like you say, you know, the employee quits, you call the bank, say, okay.
Well, I had called the agency or whoever.
Yeah, I know. And that's where I had called, too, but yeah. right. live and learn, it wouldn't happen twice.
Yeah. Okay, if that's something we want to do, shoot me an email saying just yes or something, and then we'll try to work it out.
Yes.
Should
I don't have that.
We can work with our employment partners for that too. To
yeah.
get the word out.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Even like a survey when you're,
okay.
you know, sending, because then it's getting to the HR person that's doing it.
Okay.
When you mail out, you know, that kind of stuff, do the survey.
With all these new businesses coming into Kenosha,
yeah.
a lot of people are suddenly going to hopefully be employed.
Right.
Yeah.
And suddenly you're going to start seeing, I mean, how does a guy unemployed pay child support, it's, you know?
I'm hoping that these new businesses give us a lot of employment for everyone. The transportation's an issue, though. You know, it's really hard to get to these jobs, so that's a problem. So.
I agree 100%.
No.
I think the income withholdings got more complicated once they added the requirement to do the health insurance stuff. You know, back when it was just monetary orders, you got maybe 2 to 4 pages at the most. It's a federal requirement, though.
Any other questions?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank
you.
We'll be
Thanks.
In touch,
Thank
it
you.
Seems like.
Okay.
Agenda item number 6, such other business is authorized by law. I don't think there is any. 7, committee member comments? Anybody? I have one thing. I have a stack of stuff from NACO, but since, like, the rest of us aren't here and, like, I haven't said anything at the county board, I don't want to hand that out yet. It's a couple of different documents, so I'm not quite sure how to get it to you, whether I'll just give you, like, email you a list and you can say, I really want to look at this, or if I'll just lay them on the table and you can kind of browse through them and see what piques your interest. I haven't figured out yet how to do that. But if you want to give me some guidance about what's helpful for you, do it. Anybody else? Youth and Governance?
I like to read.
Wait, I'm confused. What?
Do you have any comments?
Oh, no, I'm good.
Anything I just say makes sense?
Yeah, you're talking about stuff that didn't really concern me.
I'll tell you after we adjourn. Just stay for like 30 seconds.
Okay.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Decker, second by Supervisor Johnson. All do you think of it?
Aye.
Aye.
Committee.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. So glad you remember the Youth of Governance, Mike. NACO was the